But all this indecision, with these debts and doubts and worries hanging over my head, and I was a child. I spoke as a child. I wish I could remember what I said. I wish I could remember what I said. Take them away, take them away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Take away these chains from me. Some birds' feathers are too bright to be caged. I know I'm not that colorful, but I'm a bird just the same. Open up the bars, now let me put down my load so I can go back, in fact, to my home. Take them away. Take them away, Lord, take away the chains from me. My spirit's broken and my heart's not free. Take away the chains from me. Sun beating down, my legs can't seem to stand. There's a boss man at the turn row with a rifle in his hand. My children at home, they have nothing in the pan. My wife, she's hungry, I'm out plowing the land. So take them away. Take them away, Lord, take away the chains from me. My heart is broken cause my spirit's not free. Take away the chains from me. I can't see when I go to work, I can't see when I get off. How do you expect a man not to get lost? Every year I just keep going deeper in debt. If there's a better day coming, Lord, it ain't here yet. So take it away. Take them away, Lord, take away the chains from me. My heart is broken cause my spirit's not free. Take away the chains from me. Well, the land that I love is the land that I'm working. But it's hard to love it all the time when my back is hurting. Getting too old now to push the plow. Let me lie back in the cool grass and look up at the clouds. Oh, take them away. Take them away, Lord, take away the chains from me. My heart is broken cause my spirit's not free. Take away the chains from me. Oh, televisioned houses, air-conditioned cars. I'm surrounded by my neighbors and I don't know who they are. Bloggers, posters, tweeters, all beating their own drums. There's a shortage of love, Lord, and too many guns. Oh, take them away. Take them away, take away the chains. My heart is broken cause my spirit's not free. Take away these chains from me.
Good morning. I'm going to ask you to help me with a call to worship, and should be bolded, but it wasn't bolded. So I'm going to read the first line, and you respond each time with the second line, okay? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Amen. As we begin the service this morning, I will again, as usual, light the peace lamp. And it's another week of darkness spreading all over. And let this remind us that God is in the world, that He gives us the power to be His light and to help to spread his love, and also that his Holy Spirit is working even in the times when we get so discouraged. Now let's sing praise to God. Evelyn will lead us.
Changes the mood. It's number 411. And our service this morning is about servanthood. And let's sing, "I Bind My Heart This Tide," including the Amen.
Thank you.
In continuing with this more reflective and meditative mood, I invite you to turn your bulletins over, and we will read together the confessing and reconciling section. Jesus says, "Come away to a deserted place and rest." Jesus says, "I am your shepherd."
We long for our scattered and frenzied lives, find our home, the shepherd whose voice we know, but do not always hear.
Jesus says, "I am your peace."
We long for the peace that comes through Christ, yet confess we fail at times to accept it.
Receive the forgiveness of Christ, who gathers the longings and desires of your hearts and heals you. Amen. Now, let's have another song.
Please turn to number 30 in Sing the Journey, the Green Book, number 30. I don't know that we've sung this song very often, but it's a familiar tune with some different words. So let's sing this together. Jesus Christ is
Now's the time for the children. I think we have a few children here. If you'll come on up front, Ms. Suzanne will have a story for you or a time for you.
Good morning. Yeah, there's room for you. There you go. Well, I never know how many children there are going to be. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. When I walked in this morning, I didn't see any, maybe because you're shorter than I am. Okay. What is a neighbor? Anybody know what a neighbor is? No? Well, Jesus tells us that if we're kind to our neighbors and giving, it's the same as being kind and giving to God. So let me tell you. Are you going to fix that for me? Oh, thank you. Is that better? Oh, good. Our neighbor might be living in the house next door. That would be considered a neighbor. But you know what? Some of us live in houses where we can't even see the house next door. So then I guess our neighbors would be the closest people who live to us. So if we're kind... There is a neighbor close to your house?
No, we have a neighbor house close to our house.
Close to your house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those would be our neighbors. You know who else is our neighbors? All this congregation. These people. Your sister, that's in your family. And sometimes learning to be kind to people in your family and giving is not so easy. But let me tell you what the scripture is kind of about, and then we're going to read a book. If I were your mom and I was fixing your favorite dinner, your favorite lunch, let's say it's mac and cheese. Not mac and cheese. Well, everybody has a favorite. But if I fixed mac and cheese and you got really excited about it, and I said to you, here's the mac and cheese, but half of this mac and cheese we're going to give to our neighbors because I know the mommy is sick over there and it's going to be gone. Oh, maybe you wouldn't feel so happy about it then. Because what you wanted was gone. Maybe you wouldn't even have as much of the mac and cheese if you had to share it with a neighbor. So sometimes sharing with your neighbor, even when they're in your family, is really hard. Widget is one of my favorite books. It comes from my personal library. Widget. Okay? Widget has a problem. Let's figure out what it has to do about family and neighbors. Widget was a little stray dog. He had no home and he had no friends. He was very sad and lonely. Look where Widget is. Is he playing out in the sunshine? Where is he? Under a log because it's raining. He was very sad and lonely. He was cold and hungry too. He saw a house at the end of a road. There was a door just his size, so he peeked inside. And indeed, some houses have a little door like that so their animals can go in and out. My pets are part of my family, I can tell you that. My animals, my cats, my dogs, my horse, they're part of my family. But Widget doesn't have a family. Look what he sees inside. He saw cats, 6 warm beds, and 6 bowls of hot food. Mmm. Widget dove for the food and straight into Mrs. Diggs.
"Why, you poor thing," said Mrs. Diggs. "I wish you could stay, but I'm afraid the girls just can't stand dogs."
Widget looked at the girls. What are they? They don't look like him. He looked at Mrs. Diggs. She seemed nice, and Widget really wanted to stay.
"Meow,"
said Widget. He's learning a foreign language. Mrs. Diggs laughed.
"Well, girls," she said, "what do you think?"
The girls puffed up. Their tails got fluffy. Their hair stood on end. And they do not have very happy faces, do they?
So Widget puffed up. The girls hissed and spit. Were they welcoming Widget? Don't think so. So Widget hissed and spit. The girls howled.
But Widget purred. He played with a little toy mouse, and he even used the litter box. Look at the girls now. They stopped growling. They were confused.
Widget looked like a dog and he smelled like a dog, but he acted like a cat. Mrs. Diggs set a bowl down for Widget. Widget started eating. He never took his eyes off the girls. And the girls started eating, and they never took their eyes off Widget.
"Why, you fit right in,"
said Mrs. Diggs. And Widget did fit right in. From that day on, Widget ran with the girls, played with the girls, and curled up with the girls. In fact, he had so much fun with the girls, he sometimes forgot he was a dog. But then, one day, Mrs. Diggs tripped over a toy and fell down. She didn't move. Widget and the girls were worried. She did fall down. They meowed for help. Look at all the kitties. Look at the girls.
Meow.
But no one came. They screeched, they yowled, they caterwauled for help, and no one came. Oh dear. Look at Widget. He barked for help. The girls were shocked. Then they barked for help too. Everyone came. Mrs. Diggs was saved.
"I didn't know you had a dog," said a neighbor.
"Oh, yes," said Mrs. Diggs. "It's nice to have a dog, right, girls?" Oh, yes, the girls agreed. So, they had a new friend. They took in a neighbor who didn't even have a home, and they shared their food, and they shared Mrs. Diggs. So here's what we're going to do. Do you see these beautiful flowers? All different colors, right? Not the same family of flowers. They're not even the same sizes. is a very short flower. These are very long stem flowers. They're all different. Who do you think they're for? Well, I'm going to give some to each of you. And here's what I want you to decide. I want you to go out into the congregation and give them away. I want you to totally give them away. And when they're all gone, I want you to come back here so we can have a prayer. But I want you to give these to one of your neighbors in the congregation. Does that leave any for you?
No.
Nope, not a one. Not a one. They go for your neighbors. So, here we go. Who can help me give? Can you be a good neighbor and make somebody feel good for no reason? They're wet. It's hot out. They're wet. They're wet. Go, make sure you go all the way to the back. I don't care. Just for no reason, give them away. And then come right back here and have a seat. Or is he going to give Cheerios? Are my children? You're going to come join us? Okay, can we all say a quick prayer? Could you come over here and join me, please? Thank you. Ready? Bow your heads. Ready? Our Heavenly Father, help us to be good neighbors, whoever our neighbors are. Amen.
Yes, sir.
As we get ready to take the morning offering, Sister Song is going to come and bless us with music. There's at least one person there I didn't expect to see there.
Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified.
Let's pray. God, you circle us with your love, and we thank you that we're able to share back a little bit of what you've given to us. Please use these offerings to help expand that circle to include everyone in the world. Amen. Okay, from this point, we're going to pretty much just follow along in the bulletin. You don't need me up here. We'll have the scripture reading, and then after the scriptures, Eric will give us a message.
I'll be reading from Luke 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side of the road. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put a man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have had.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Then Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
I'm reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'You have my Father's blessing. Come, enter, and possess the kingdom that has been ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me.' Then the righteous will reply, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink, a stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you?' And the king will answer, 'I tell you this, anything you did for one of my brothers and sisters here, however humble, you did for me.'"
morning. It's exciting to be with you all here today. I want to let you into a little bit of my morning routine. Every day when I wake up, I make my way to the kitchen, put on water for coffee, get the newspaper, turn on the radio, and scroll through the latest news updates on my phone. The multiple news sources might seem a bit excessive, but any good engineer knows how important it is to have redundant systems. The next 15 minutes are a deluge of crises reaching from our community to every corner of the world. And it's really overwhelming. With new disasters every morning, it seems like the list of hurting people is always growing. And this struggle is nothing new. Certainly, there's been both bad news and a robust industry to share those woes for all of our lifetimes. And my discussion today isn't a critique of the media. It does seem, however, that with every new advance in communication platforms, these messages invade a bit farther into our personal space. At least the town crier stayed in the street, the newspaper was on our doorstep, but the phones are in our pockets, and for a growing number of us, never leave our hands. I believe it's important that we see and hold the challenges of the world. Naturalists seem to have an innate understanding of this interconnectedness. As John Muir famously said, when we try to pick out anything by itself, we find it hitched to everything else in the universe. And it's a crucial time for humans to reach this level of consciousness because, for the first time in the history of the world, we're witnessing firsthand how our actions have very global impact. Earth is a closed system, and the carbon emissions from industrialized nations are unquestionably and fundamentally altering the composition of our atmosphere in significant and catastrophic ways. We're learning how everything about our planet is finite. The space where we live, the air we breathe, and the water we drink. Gone are the days of the frontier, the wilderness, and the unexplored. We have embraced the philosophy of manifest destiny, and we are reaping its consequences. The same tools that caused me to be overwhelmed at breakfast have brought the world together in small but important ways. Jeremy Rifkin, an American social and economic theorist, explains that what we're witnessing is an empathic revolution. He has noted the correlation between significant advances in communication and major industrial revolutions over the centuries. The advent of writing in ancient Sumeria enabled agriculture and the advent of cities. Gutenberg's printing press heralded the Industrial Revolution, and the impact of the internet and computing technologies is still unfolding in our society. In his 2009 address to the Rotterdam Global Urban Summit, Rifkin posits that we have, and I quote, reached a new state of consciousness as a global society when kindergartners come home and turn off the lights because they recognize the connection that it has to farmers in Africa. I still believe this awareness of interconnectedness is fundamentally important, but I must admit it makes me yearn for a simpler time. It can be paralyzing to try to hold the burdens of all these events in the news, attempting to modify parts of my life in hopes to make a positive impact. It sometimes makes me wish my world was smaller. I contemplate building an isolated cabin by a pond in the woods and walling it. As we contemplate the scriptures for today, I'm sometimes envious of the travelers that only had one beat-up guy on the edge of the road to deal with. It seems like I might have enough space on my donkey for that, but I'm pretty sure I can't carry the weight of all the problems in the world. It's always uncomfortable for me to realize how much I identify with the characters in the Good Samaritan story that aren't, well, the good ones. For those of us that grew up in the church, the story is so familiar that the characters have become second nature. Of course, if placed in the same situation, we'd all hope to respond like the Samaritan, the true hero. But we all understand the pressure of the good and important things that the priest and the rabbi have had on their schedules. Not to overestimate my own importance, but I know you folks are all quite resilient and resourceful, but this morning's service would be a bit different if I decided to help change a flat tire for a stranded motorist on the way to church today. I also realize I had an innate disdain for the lawyer who asked Jesus the question that launched the whole parable in the first place. Asking, "Who is my neighbor?" feels prying in an attempt to figure out the bounds for who we must love. What are the limits? Who do I have to love like myself, and who can I ignore? Perhaps he too was overwhelmed by the hustle and bustle of his metropolitan life, the civic affairs of Jerusalem, his charity functions, the beggars at the gate, and the nightly update in the square from Wolf Blitzer's ancestor. Trouble is, I find myself asking the same question. When faced with a flood of news from our community and around the world, knowledge and awareness of all these hurting people in Charleston, Ukraine, Iran, Syria, and the list goes on, who is my neighbor, Jesus? As we read, Jesus responds, as he so often does, with a parable. And the result is pretty astonishing. Jesus reframes the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" to instead ask, "Who acted more like a neighbor?" I believe Jesus' message has as much relevance for my modern rearticulation of the "who is my neighbor in an interconnected world" question as it did 2,000 years ago. For the rest of our time today, I'd like to focus then on how we can respond like neighbors to suffering people in our world, whether they're nearby or distant. Let's begin by exploring ways to be a neighbor to faraway people. I've classified my ideas in three categories or reasons for why I believe this is important. First, sometimes our actions have global impact. To quickly understand how our lives are woven to others across the world, there's a really fascinating website called SourceMap. This is a MIT initiative to visualize supply chains for all kinds of common products that we use on a daily basis. And few of these are more basic than a ballpoint pen. But I learned from this website that even something so simple requires synchronized collaboration between factories and suppliers in Mexico, China, Russia, Brazil, France, and the United States. So do we all give up writing until we find a fair trade pen? For the curious, I looked, and they do exist. Now, this April 24th marked the 2-year anniversary of the Rana Plaza building collapse in Bangladesh that killed 1,129 people. And even though I know this, I still often sadly choose to ignore the origins of the clothes I wear. Whether through groups working for fair trade products, environmental justice, social equality, and a myriad of other challenges, networks of resources exist to equip people to create positive change that radiates outward. Perhaps these small actions are actually statistically insignificant in the face of global challenges, but I'm convinced that incorporating these changes into our daily rhythms makes us aware of how our lives are woven to those around us. And if Margaret Mead is right, these small groups of committed citizens are the only dependable agents of change. Sometimes global challenges require our actions. I'm always in awe at the creative ways that some people have worked to enter the lives of people suffering through the news stories that I watch on TV. When the bombs began falling on Baghdad and most American citizens were fleeing, groups of people from Christian peacemaker teams were heading into the city to stand in solidarity with Iraqi men and women. As we search for knowledge to inspire meaningful action, I believe it's important to look for and amplify the voices of the people on the margins. Who are the people whose voices aren't being heard and whose stories aren't being told? How do their stories support or contradict the narrative we hear from our nation's leaders and from the global voices of power? Third, sometimes our stories intersect. It's important to acknowledge that despite feeling closer to international challenges, thanks to social media and 24-hour news correspondents, simple awareness isn't a substitute for relationship. The beautiful thing about a more interconnected world, however, is that more than ever, there are opportunities to form real relationships with the people who have experienced news from the other side of the camera. I follow stories more closely, anticipating that I will meet people affected by the shooting, war, or famine in the next few months or years. As you know, Ruth has spent quite a few years as an English as a second language teacher here at Penn State, and as a result, we've been afforded with many unique opportunities. This past semester, Ruth had a student from Yemen. Now, when we hear stories of this conflict, we think about Salim and his family, not just faceless strangers. So that's the global thoughts and ideas. So I want to turn attention to local. Responding faithfully to global challenges has the obviously difficult hurdle of geography to overcome. While local challenges don't have the same obstacle, perhaps a bigger challenge is bridging the social, cultural, and economic barriers, or just the literal barriers that separate us from our geographically proximate potential neighbors. These are people who we can relate with person to person and face to face. These are people who it's truly possible to share burdens and challenges with in tangible and meaningful ways. But do we ever even put ourselves in situations where this encounter might occur? First, I think it's important to ask, who does Jesus spend his time with? The Matthew verse reminds us that Jesus most frequently could be found in the company of the marginalized and social outcasts, and prioritized their voices and pain. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. We'd be wise to do the same. Second, this is a question that's been really troubling to me. Are we neighborly to just our friends? All too often, I believe, most of our best energy goes to our friends, people that are like us and already like us. This is something Ruth and I have thought about quite a bit in the wake of the shootings in Charleston. As our circle of friends narrows and tightens, the solidarity we show to the African American community by turning up at memorial services or for our annual joint service with Albright Bethune, for that matter, seems like a good start, but an insufficient replacement for relationship. We haven't figured out answers, but I would really welcome feedback from others that have wrestled with similar thoughts. How often do we reserve our best for our friends and miss opportunities to love and learn from those around us? Then finally, who is the neighbor that we've never met? I'm confronted by the weight of this question any time that I drive from State College to Bellefonte. At night, the lights of Benner and Rockview prisons in the Center County Jail light up the sky. There are 4,800 people behind those walls. I've never visited or written a letter, and I don't know the name or face of a single incarcerated person. Who are the neighbors we've never met, and how can we meet them? So, it appears that after beginning the message today talking about the deluge of problems, I did nothing but articulate a different kind of overwhelm, the seemingly endless possibilities for how we can respond. That's what I love to do. I've known this community for a long time, and I know we all share something in common. We're all really busy, already overcommitted, and doing really good things. Like the priest and the rabbi, we're in a hurry and we don't have time to stop because the thing we're doing is legitimately and unarguably important and good. I even hesitate to mention the prisons today because this is an area where, personally, I know I have to do something. I think about our incarcerated neighbors a lot, but we have a 10-month-old. It's a busy time of life, and I really don't know how I'd fit in. It's as easy to get overwhelmed by actions as it is to get overwhelmed by the deluge of problems where we started. Ruth and I attended a lecture in Chicago a few years ago by one of the brothers from the Taizé community in France. If you're not familiar, Taizé is a small town, but it's also the location of an ecumenical monastery that has worked faithfully to build reconciliation. This brother said that he believes there are important disciplines, like fasting, for example, that are particularly relevant for every time period in history. And he believes that the challenge of our age is the ability to say no. Not just saying no to bad things that take our time, but saying no even to some good things. We will, of course, miss out, but we will be more present and committed to the things that we say yes to. Attempting to glean wisdom from some elders I know and respect for their work, I asked questions of a few friends that I've worked with for many, or that have worked for many years as activists and community organizers. My question for them was this: how do you keep going in the face of such overwhelming obstacles? And I'd like to share a few of their responses. My friend Mary is a retired drug and alcohol counselor, and now a community organizer and self-described news hound. She stretched out her arms and said, 50 miles in either direction is the only place where I may be able to have some influence other than perhaps through my pocketbook. Mary epitomizes the idea from so many bumper stickers, think globally and act locally. And few people I know have better demonstrated love for their neighbor than Mary. Vincent is an activist who focused early in his career on nuclear proliferation. He is currently working to battle against mountaintop removal. He stressed the importance of humor, saying, it's easy to get worn down by the gravity of global challenges, but laughter is the antidote. Finally, many of you know Sarah, the convener of the Interfaith Initiative here in Center County. She's one of the best bridge builders I know. Sarah said, the effort of keeping an open mind and heart in the presence of so much need, rather than completely closing down and shutting off, is a worthy goal in itself. Doing what one can and not closing down, respecting oneself and respecting the needs of others as well, and being content to live in that struggle and tension, these are all part of where I'm at with these questions right now. Sarah's comments also reveal how this is a lifelong journey. It's going to take some time. As we go from here, may God help us wrestle with these tensions, a world with hurting people, and the finiteness of our time. I'll close with a few words from Bruce Martin, a close friend and mentor. The world really doesn't need more heroes, more saviors. It needs more neighbors. And neighbors are people who are real, who are in our world, not on Facebook or Twitter. People who need your presence in the present, not just a selfie or a pic of the evening casserole, or even a comment on a world crisis. Neighbors are local, people whom we can empower, whom empower us if we let them, to whom we make a difference by what we do, not only by what we say, moment by moment, in the real world of space and time. May God help us make good decisions of how we use our limited time and energy, and may we love like Christ. Amen.
Ruth was called from her many responsibilities to come and play for us. And Jake was volunteering if that couldn't happen. So we thank you for that. Please turn to number 65 in Sing the Story. Number 65. And let's stand to sing this one.
Thank you.
it's always great to see new faces and returning faces, and I'm not allowed to point out who anybody is, but if anybody who's here would like to introduce themselves, we'd love to know who you are, where you're from, and we have microphones on both sides.
We're really excited to have my aunt Susan Miller visiting us briefly. She's from northeastern Ohio and is making her way to the Mennonite Health Conference and Mennonite World Convention in Harrisburg this week.
Hi, everyone. Lucy Malenke, formerly Lucy Green. I got married on May 29th, and Nate is sadly not with me. He is in Ohio right now making knives in his dad's blacksmith shop. But we've had a nice year in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I am really enjoying my job at James Madison University. But I miss you all a lot, and I just want to express my gratitude for what an amazing job this church does of welcoming newcomers. That's been a challenge for me in my new place, is finding a church community, and I'm just so grateful for how quickly I was welcomed in this church. I think I was on the visuals committee my second week here. So in any case, I look forward to catching up with you all after the service.
Hello, I'm Matthew Bricker. I'm here today with my wife, Jamie. We were students here, I don't know, I think 12 years ago. So we're back visiting in State College this weekend, our first weekend without children. But we have three children now who are 7, 5, and 2. And we live in Chester County, just outside Philadelphia, and bring greetings from Fraser Mennonite Church there.
Great, thank you. Thank you very much. One of the sad things about the strengths of this congregation is that we keep seeing people coming back and hearing how their lives are going and stuff. So let's take a couple minutes now. And I didn't do the passing of the peace earlier because I wasn't sure how long the service would be. But let's greet one another with the peace of Christ. So go stand up and shake somebody's hand who's a neighbor that you don't know as just a friend. All right. You know, you don't have to stop talking to each other after the service. During the summer, we're not having Sunday school, but we do have coffee and tea and hot chocolate. And And you're all encouraged to go downstairs and continue visiting with your neighbors. And I just want to say a plug. Who made the coffee today? Elaine Mercer there. You know, most of us just really enjoy it. I do especially, the coffee drinkers. Eric, you must. Somebody has to make that coffee. And I noticed a couple weeks ago, I made it because nobody had signed up. And then another, like 2 weeks ago, nobody made it, period. And poor Jesse Pierce was down there, like, frantically trying to get coffee ready. And we said, no, it takes 45 minutes. You can't do it after the service. So please, if you enjoy it, please sign up to do it. It's not hard. Somebody can show you how. Or at least clean up. Nobody was signed up for cleanup either. So that's my little part. And I know we forgot to pray about the upcoming World Conference. We should have remembered that, you know. But please remember in your prayers. Who's going from our congregation up to Harrisburg? Yeah, let's remember these folks as they're there. Okay. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted? There are a number of them in here. Yes, Carl. You need a microphone.
Marv asked me to lead the sharing of joys and concerns and prayer for us tonight. We've begun a community in prayer, which we used to have, and we're going to be meeting up front here. We'll bring some chairs up and sharing personal things or things that we want others to pray for us for. So please come at 6:30 and we'll be through by 7:30.
Thank you, Carl. Anyone else?
Rosita Durstein. I just wanted to highlight the announcement in the bulletin about the Bridge of Hope Center County information meeting. There are five of us who are interested and are planning to meet. It's this coming Tuesday. It's an information meeting, so if you have any interest in learning about Bridge of Hope or think you may be interested in serving on a mentoring group, please let me know. Thank you.
I'm Joyce Hall. I'd like to highlight the announcement that says last chance in the bulletin. I have about 8 or 9 people that are going to be helping to tear down at the World Conference in 2 Sundays. No, next Sunday, 26th, yeah. So, and we're going to be taking down tables and thousands of chairs. So if anybody else can help, that would be great. Just contact me and I'd appreciate it.
Okay, then we'll have Eric give us the benediction, and then we'll have the closing song.
Would everyone stand? In a world full of great pain and great joy, with infinite neighbors and finite time, may God give us grace to risk something big for something good. May God take our minds and think through them. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire through the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Follow Jesus and sing. Number 40 in Sing the Story, the Purple Book, number 40. We'll sing the Zimbabwean words. We'll sing it in English once, and then we'll sing the Zimbabwe words, and then we'll sing English again. And the words are, Somlandela, Somlandelu Jesu, Somlandela, Yonke Indawo, Somlandela, Somlandelu Jesu, Lapo Eya Kona, Somlandela. We will follow Jesus. So, English first. We will follow.